We're in church. Sorry, I had mask taking off trouble. Does anyone else have that? You get like your mask all caught up with everything else going on. Good morning, church. How are we doing? We good this morning? Ready to hear the word of God? How great was that worship? Isn't our God amazing? I just love that. Isn't God good? God is so good. This morning, we are talking about joy. That's the sermon series we're on this month, joy. Last week, Pastor Doug spoke about how joy flows. Joy flows from us, from Christ into us, and then from us into others. Isn't that true? Don't we see that this morning? Don't we see that in this world? You know, everything's going on. You know, you don't need me to tell you. But joy really shows. Pastor Doug said that last week. People who are joyful through this time, who have built their house on the rock, the words of Christ, it really shows right now, doesn't it? I mean, the rubber has hit the road. It's the time of testing, purification. You know, we're being seen what we're really made of. Is your joy showing this morning? Today we're going to talk about joy. It had to be blood. That's the name of my sermon. It had to be blood. I'm going to persuade you this morning. My goal is to persuade you through Scripture. There was no other way but blood for God to redeem us. It had to be blood. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts." His ways are higher. Aren't we glad we serve a God whose ways are higher than our own? Whose thoughts are above our own this morning? I mean, isn't that amazing? That's the God we serve. His ways are so high. I'm so glad to serve him this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to be born and living that perfect life for us. I thank you that you died that cross and that your blood was spilled out for the forgiveness of our sins. I thank you, God, that we're in the written, our names are written in the book of life because of what you did on that day, God. And I thank you, I pray that as we spend our time here together, that we would be effective and efficient, and that you, God, would cause your word to sink into our hearts and into our spirits as we go. In your name, Jesus, amen. So when God created the world, you know, many moons ago, he created the world perfectly. I think that's something that we need to understand. He created an absolutely perfect world. We are in the perfect distance from our sun. We're at the perfect angle for, you know, to receive sunlight. Our world is perfect. The water system was perfect. You know, the water goes up, it comes down. I mean, we are drinking dinosaur pee no matter how you slice it. It keeps getting recycled, right? God created a perfect world. And in that perfect world, he made a perfect garden. In that perfect garden, he put man that he made with his own hands and breathed life into him. Now, when somebody dies today, if somebody were to die, you know, generally our thoughts would be like, oh, how'd they die? You know, was it old age? Was it maybe an accident? Was it expected? You know, was it the COVID? Something we, you know, when someone dies today, we might ask those questions. But when God created this perfect world and put man in that world, there was only one single way to die. That was it. There was only one way Adam could have died. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, we all know the story. You can picture it, can't you? Adam and Eve, they're there in the garden. They have strategically placed fig leaves, right? You know what I'm talking about. And they're there in the garden. Everything is perfect. And yet, still, what do they choose to do? You know, they choose to eat the unidentified fruit. Lots of people will tell you it was an apple. I choose to believe it was a mango. I don't know. It could have been anything. But it's a fruit of this tree. And when they eat it, they gain knowledge of good and evil. And from that moment on, we see our own fall as humans, don't we? We see sin in our lives. We see the power of sin, temptation. I mean, like the deceiver, he tempted them, didn't he? But he still is tempting us today. And we've just seen sin. What we also see in that first story is that God had a plan from the very beginning to redeem us. A plan from the very beginning to bring us joy. It says in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." Right there we see that an animal is slain and they are clothed in skin. the skin of an animal. Blood was shed for their sins. And from this moment forward, we see God's plan for redemption always involve blood. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had people come up to me and be like, why is Christianity such a religion filled with blood? Why is there so much blood? I mean, read the Old Testament. There's a lot of it. Read the New Testament. There's a lot of it. People were so offended by what Jesus said about blood that they walked away from him. Right? We see that. People like, they're like, oh, that's weird. That's, you know, disgusting. Why is Christianity so much about blood? Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. So right there we see our answer. It is blood that makes atonement. Why? Because it's life. There has to be death for there to be life. And we see this time and time again throughout the narrative of the Old Testament. I mean, think about, you know, the Jewish people. They're in captivity. They're in Egypt. What happens? How do they escape eventually? How do they get out of there? How does God deliver them? By the blood of a lamb, right? Sprinkled on their doorposts so they can escape, so that the angel of the Lord doesn't go into their houses. See, that death of that lamb was life for them. You see it, you know, throughout the sacrificial system. What I really want to hammer home this morning is that in the Old Testament, people get this wrong all the time. They think that when an animal was killed for someone's sins, they were forgiven. But that is not what the Old Testament says. What God instituted in the sacrificial system was that it covered their sins for a year. That's how long. That's why the priest, day after day, festival after festival, new moon after new moon, year after year, had to keep making sacrifices. And the people to keep coming back because it covered their sins. The blood covered their sins. The blood covers our sins. But why did it have to be blood? Why couldn't have, you know, God used some other, you know, I don't know, like some other method? Why couldn't it have been like, you know, vegetable oil? Or like, is anyone into like those like essential oils? Like, you know, I don't mean, right? People are into that. I hate all of them. But anyways, you know, like, why could it have been an oil that covered our sins? Why could it have been like, you know, you had to mash a mango into fruit juice and then pour that out? Why did it have to be blood? God instituted this system from the very beginning, but why? I mean, he's God. He could have chosen anything, couldn't he have? He could save us, you know, by like, any way. Why did he choose to save us by the death of his own son? I mean, we're headed into that Christmas season, aren't we? You know, we're like, what, five sleeps? Any kids in the house? By the way, I don't know, like, what about like pajamas next Sunday? Come on, why do just the kids get to wear their pajamas? Come on, I want Pop-Tarts in church. That sounds like the best idea ever. God could have chosen any way to save us. Why did he choose blood? Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isn't that true this morning? But the wages of sin is death. You see, our sin, we know this, it creates distance between us and God. It's not that God backs away from us. It's that we put a distance between us and our perfect God. And I don't know about you, but I have found that it is a truth in my life that it is really easy for me to choose sin. I'm just being honest with you, church. You know, like when somebody passes me or doesn't know how to drive, I find it really easy to choose to sin. You know, I find it really easy to gossip. I find it really easy to, you know, to get mad at someone else. I find it easy to try and hide, you know. The other day I was at a grocery store and the lady, she was like running my groceries through and something happened with her till and she ran like 11 things, which happened to be like the most expensive things I bought, through the till. And it didn't scan. So she was like, yeah, here's like, you know, $20. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I bought $80 worth of stuff. So I said to her, you know, hey, you know, like, you didn't ring it through, whatever. You know, I guess I should do the right thing. And she was like, oh, no, I got it right. And I was like, sweet. Excellent. God has given me free groceries. This is wonderful. But then I was like, no, that's not right, is it? So I said, no. I had to argue with this lady. I'm like, look what I got. Look, anyways. It's easy for me to, am I the only one? Come on, church, let's be honest, right? It's easy for us to choose sin. It's easy for us to get trapped in that. It's easy for us to walk down that path. Why is it easy for us to create distance from God? I mean, you want to talk about joy? What about the joy that we get to be with a living God? He instituted a way for us to be with him. And yet, I don't know about you, but when I'm sinning, I'm not thinking that I put Jesus there on the cross. I'm thinking about my sin. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what's going on with me. If he had done anything else but sacrifice himself, would we have noticed? Think about us. When I became a Christian, I used to read the Old Testament narrative. And, you know, I used to think about Israel. Think about it. They got delivered. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They got to the other side. God fed them manna and quail and provided water for them from a rock. And yet they got to this point and they were like, oh, it would have been better for us to die in Egypt. Oh, like, seriously, God, oh. And I used to think, man, they were so, I apologize, this isn't a nice word, but I used to think they were so stupid, you know, because how could God deliver them like that and they didn't realize what he did for them? And then as I looked in my own life, I realized, well, there were seas I crossed through on dry ground, and there was times that God provided me with manna and quail, and there was times that he provided me water from the rock, and yet where am I? Still putting distance between myself and God. The wages of sin is death. You see, I truly believe, church, that if it wasn't death, we wouldn't even notice. Because that's what we are. Our hearts are so hard and we live in this world. And you see, the sacrificial system was put in place not death for death's sake. It was death for life's sake. The point of sacrificing those animals was not that the blood, you know, pleased God. Like somehow he was really into that sort of thing. Like, no, that's not what it was. It wasn't even the smell of the burnt offering that pleased God. David wrote in Psalm 51, he said, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. See, the point of the sacrificial system was not that our sins were forgiven by the slaying of bulls, but rather that our hearts would be moved to repentance. Even in the Old Testament, you still needed forgiveness from God. The point of the system was just to move your heart there. So here we are. We live in this new covenant. Jesus died once and for all for our sins. Where's our heart at? Where is our heart at when it comes to this? You know, when people see us, do they see joy? Do they see something different about us? Or do they see the same thing they see in their own eyes? The worry, the strife, what's going on, our anxiety, our fears, our this, our that. We serve a God who sent his son to die for our sins. How do we worry? How do we let our hearts be filled with anxiety? His blood should cause us joy, church. Isn't that true? But so often, I don't know about you, but I'm too busy with all this going on. I got my work, I got my kids, I got, you know, whatever, that I can't even think about that. I got to focus on my work. Isn't that crazy? You know, Martin Luther, he said, I'm too busy not to pray. You know, what a great word. I'm too busy not to pray. I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, you know, I'll pray when I'm, you know, 80. How many of us before COVID, we said, when I have time, I'll pray. When I have time, I'll read my Bible. I just don't have time. And then they locked us in our houses, and what do? Netflix. Like, come on. Disney Plus. Come on. I mean, you know, you got all the Marvel movies on there. Like, I mean, that's a lot of time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 4 says, For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. What the author's talking about here is that sacrificial system that was put in place for year after year. You had to go back and make a new sacrifice. It could never have worked, and then the author's saying that. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of their sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It is impossible. See, the point of the sacrifice was it was supposed to mean something. It was supposed to hurt. I mean, when someone who's rich gives a dollar, does it matter? Do they feel it in their bottom line? Does it matter? But when, you know, like a single mom who's counting every penny, you know, I grew up and, you know, we weren't always well off. And I can remember times in my life, like I'm old enough that you used to like phone for your bank balance. You guys remember that? Come on now. You remember phoning for your... And I remember there were times when we'd phone for our bank balance and it was like there wasn't anything there. Like the first, it was like 3 digits and that included the cents. I can remember those times. every dollar mattered to my mom as we were growing up. And I think about her, every dollar mattered. But you know, when she would make a sacrifice, give something, right? That dollar mattered. It was supposed to hurt. The sacrifice of a bull was supposed to, you know, it was supposed to make you think, right? Bulls were meant for work and for meat, and they were helpful back then, right? It was not death for death's sake. It was to move our hearts to repentance. But it wasn't working. That system wasn't working. The writer in Hebrews says it could never have worked. And so God still, you know, he knew before the world was even created, he would send his son. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 11 and 12, it says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. The tent they're talking about is the tabernacle where God's presence was kept. You know, the Israelites, they moved a tent around with them wherever they went. And there was a place called the holy place. There was a holy of holies. And the priest would have to make a number of sacrifices before he could go into the holy place. And once he was in the holy place, he made more sacrifices. And they sprinkled blood on the articles of worship, the stuff they had to use to worship God. And then once they did that, they went into the holy of holies. And only the high priest could go. And it was this amazing ceremony. If you look into it, the symbolism is incredible. Because you see, the high priest, when he sprinkled the blood on these articles of worship, it meant he could use them for good things. But what we know, the writer of Hebrews tells us somewhere else, is that now he sprinkles the blood on us as the articles of worship. We are the articles of worship God uses for good things. Isn't that amazing, church? And Christ entered that holy place, not by the blood of a bull, not by a sacrifice, but by his own perfect life. He sprinkled his own blood so he could enter. Verse 12, it says, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Wow, what a great God we serve. He planned from the very beginning to send that boy to die for us. That should change us, church. That should change the way we live. That should change what we do, what we say, what people see. That should change us. So I've been thinking a lot lately. God's really put into my heart, you know, like, what an amazing father he is. I mean, I'm up here, I'm an earthly father, you know, you can ask my kids, I've made my fair share of mistakes. You know, they might have a laundry list by the time they're graduated, who knows. But, you know, I'm flawed, but still, when I think of my children, you know, I would do anything for them. Your kids ever been sick? Have you ever felt that, like, man, you know, I would just love to be sick instead of my kid? Or maybe your kid's going through something, your drama, friendship, whatever. You think, oh, I'd love to just put myself in their place. Right? You ever felt that way for your kid? I think that way all the time. And yet, our Heavenly Father sent his own son to die for us. That means something, church. That should cause us to have joy. We serve such a great God. I mean, my kids, they ask me for something. They're like, oh, can we go to Dairy Queen? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, please, can we go to Dairy Queen? I'm like, oh, no. They're like, please, please, please. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, let's be honest. Now everyone's going to Dairy Queen after church. Watch. But, you know, when Jesus was in the garden, he pleaded with his father, you know, to take the cup away from him. But he didn't. For us, what would that felt like for God, you know, to his son is there and he's pleading, he's praying, he's up all night, his friends aren't even helping. Take this away from me. And he still doesn't. And it wasn't for nothing. And it wasn't because God is a terrible father. It's because God is the greatest father and his son was meant to die for us. Church, come on, that should change us. That should mean something. We should live differently. We should do things differently. We should act differently because of that. We have joy because of what he did. Isaiah actually wrote more about Jesus than almost any other author. In Isaiah 53, we find this very famous description of who Jesus would be. It says in verse 9, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. I love this passage because what it's saying, when it's talking about knowledge here, it's taking us right back to Genesis. See, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, they chose to know evil. And when each one of us chooses to sin, we choose to know evil. We could have gone through life knowing only good and knowing only God's plan and knowing only God's path, but instead, so often we choose to know evil. Yet he who knew no evil died for us and bore our iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercessions for their transgressors. Wow. Isn't our God amazing? Pastor Doug touched on this last week. The Greek word for joy is chara. And it's this incredible word with this deep meaning. And the Greeks, they really liked to use word pictures. They were very philosophical in their language, especially the language of the Bible. It's very philosophical, and they loved word pictures. You know, and so the word picture used for this word is it's like a child spinning a top, you know, like a top, like dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. No, okay. You know, they spin a top, and then the word picture is they spin a top and they dance over it and shout praises about it. That's what that word means. Spin a top and to dance around it and to shout praises over it. That's what joy means. I'm here to tell you today that that is what our Father wants to do for us. He wants to spin us like a top and dance around us and shout praises over us. Isn't that amazing? What a God we serve. He wants to sing over us, dance around us, be with us, be in relationship with us. And we're like, but Netflix, man. Like, I can't even say hockey games on. That's my usual go-to, but maybe soon. I don't know. I'm praying. I'm hoping. 56 games, right? No. Okay. Anyways, we can go down a bad track there. But what I am saying is this. Remember, you know, parents, when you're first born, you know, and they were there, and they're like so perfect, and you count their toes, you count their fingers, and you remember like when they took their first steps, you're like so excited, right? Weren't you like dancing around them? Weren't you shouting, oh, you're so amazing, you know, like you walked. You know, they didn't even have to do that. You remember when you're like, it's so amazing you pooped. Like, good job. Right? Remember those days? That's how God is over us. And he never gets tired. He never gets old. He never gets repetitive for him to sing over us and dance over us and praise. Isn't that amazing? Church, this is the God that we can have a relationship through the blood of Jesus. So as I close here today, as we land the plane, I got one more verse in Hebrews. It says in chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify the purification of the flesh, which is what they used to do, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, God's plan and his purpose, it's so far above us, it's so high above us, but here's the truth, is not only did he send that boy who we celebrate his birth, even though it's the wrong time of the year to celebrate, it's all good, you know, 25th, we still celebrate. We celebrate that boy, he's the same, he becomes the man who dies at Easter for our sins, and then he's resurrected to life, and we have eternal life with him. But it's not just about that. Our verse here is very clear. It says to purify our conscience from dead works. For what reason? To serve the living God. To serve the living God. And that is what joy is about. I am absolutely convinced. I am totally persuaded, church, that we can never have joy apart from Christ. And if you want to have joy with Christ, you need to serve the living God. That's where it's at. If you want joy in your life and you're not experiencing enough of it, I'm here to tell you, you need to serve the living God. He sprinkled us with blood, not just for our own purification, but so that we can be articles of worship used to change people. He uses us to go into people's lives. You know, we look around and COVID has caused so many people to turtle. You know, they're collapsing in on themselves, they're collapsing in on their families. And I am not here to tell anyone to break a health regulation. I would never do that. But I'm just here because I believe that 6 feet can't stop our God. Zoom can't stop my God. A phone call can't stop him. What can contain him? I mean, can we not deliver the Holy Spirit in the mail? Come on, church. We were called to be a joyful people. Do not turtle. Do not get sucked in. Do not focus on only your household. Look outward. Find a new way. Our God is a creative God. It says in the beginning he created. And the last thing he ever does is create a new world. Like, this, our God is a creative God. There is a way to do this now with technology, with everything going on. Connect with someone. Wave through a window at your neighbor, you know? Like, something. We're here. We're joyful for a reason. And that reason is to serve him. So what are we going to do about it? We're not meeting with our extended families. We don't have any of that. You know, some of us were like, oh, no family drama. Yay. I don't know. I've never liked turkey, so I'm totally cool. No turkey dinner. I don't know. You can pray for me, maybe. I don't know. I don't like turkey at all. But church, you know, instead of meeting with our families face to face, let's find a new way. We all have family members who aren't saved. What are we going to do? How are we going to connect with them? How are we praying for them? Are we trying to find a word for them, church? This is what it's about. Joy is about overflowing. Because God wants to dance over us and sing over us, but he wants us to make a difference in people's lives so he can sing and dance over them too. And his ways, which are so high above our ways, he chose to use us. So this week, as we head into the Christmas season, the real crux of it, hopefully you're done your shopping. I got mine done yesterday. I'm not like, you know, looking for brownie points, just I'm done early. But church, come on. You know, let's connect with someone. Remember in the, you know, past we used to like, oh, I haven't seen you in church in a while. Well, now you're like, well, are they online? Are they not online? I don't know. Just talk to them. Connect with them. Hey, did you see that youth leader? Man, he was good. His sermon was awesome. And he's handsome. Not bad on the eyes, you know. Come on, church. I just want to encourage you. Employees, spread joy. Let's talk to people. Let's reconnect. Let's not let people be outside our fold. Let's bring people in and closer together. You know, this just God is so much greater. Nothing can restrict him. I mean, who do we believe in? The God that created the universe, that sent his son to die for our sins? Church, let's move forward this week. Let's connect with someone. Let's spread joy. He wants to fill us up until we overflow. And I think if we let him, that we will see amazing things in our life. But too often we're, oh, I got this, I got that, you know, I got this to cook and whatever. Let's slow down. Let's take some time. Let's let him fill us up and let's go fill someone else this week. Amen, church? Yeah. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent your son to die on that cross for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you lived a perfect life from the time you were that boy in that manger to the time that you said, it is finished. You were perfect for us. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would just reach out. You send your Holy Spirit to everyone in this room, everyone watching at home who's in church too. God, I pray your Holy Spirit be with them. Search us, God. Show us someone that we need to connect with. Show us someone that we need to show joy to. Show us who we can smile to, where we can make a difference, God, because you purified us through your blood for your good work. I pray that we would be just the articles of worship, the articles of your good work each and every day of our lives. This week especially, that we would seek opportunity to bring someone joy. We would leave this place excited for your work. If there's anyone here or anyone at home that doesn't know this sacrifice, that doesn't know this Jesus who willingly went to the cross for us, I'm here to tell you today, it is time. It is your day. It is your moment. It is time to know him. You will never make a better decision in your life. Living life with Jesus in the lead is the only way to live. It's the source of all joy. It all flows from him. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart this morning, we will not cover you in blood. We won't even make you drink grape juice. All we're going to ask is that you raise your hand. Raise your hand or online, click on the link or the email there, because it's an outward sign of an inward change. Just like sacrifice was supposed to change our heart, sometimes that physical motion of raising a hand or sending an email changes our heart. God, you know us. You know who's here, who's watching that needs you. Make the decision today. So with every eye closed and head bowed, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make the greatest decision you ever make, I'm going to ask you, raise your hand in 3, 2, 1. Raise your hand. Click on that link. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you've made that decision and you want to know more, your next step, it's so easy. You're just going to pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins and to lead me forever in your name. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us that as we go, you would just put someone on our heart. God, I just pray that we would step out of our comfort zone and we would speak life, overflowing joy to someone today. Thank you, God, that you dance over us and sing over us, God. And I pray we would feel that every single day, God, knowing who you are. Oh, we pray all this by the precious blood of your Son. In his name, amen. Amen. So as we go, church, there's two giving stations in the back as you leave. There's six ways to give, and there's no excuse to not give. This is a time of year when people are in need. People have been going in the church. We've been filling hampers, but there's still more need. I'm here to implore you, ask God what you can give for these hampers. I know that, a lot of people are tight, stuff's going on, but God is so good, and he's using City Light to deliver joy to people through these hampers. And if you can be a part of that, it's time. Give money, give a turkey, talk to the people who are in charge. They know what's needed. But really, this will make a difference for someone's Christmas. And we're just really pushing that on top of your tithes as an offering to give to the Christmas hampers. If it's your first time here and you filled out the Connect card, or not your first time and you filled out the Connect card, you can just drop them off on the way back. And if you need prayer, there's a prayer team available. Come and receive prayer. And let's go. Let's be a joyful church, right? Let's be joyful as we go. We got Christmas Eve service on the 24th. And next week, I don't know about you, but I'm bringing pajamas and Pop-Tarts. So I cannot wait to see you. God bless. Have a great week.